We'll call the meeting to order. Representative Bierman, have you had a chance to review the meeting minutes from April 2nd?
Motion to move the minutes, please.
Representative Bierman moves the minutes from April 2nd. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are adopted. Chair Wagenius, we are hearing House File 1986. Would you care to renew your motion that it be re-referred to Ways and Means?
I will renew that motion, and we have a DE4 amendment.
Chair Wagenius renews her motion that House File 1986 be re-referred to Ways and Means, and we have the DE4 author's amendment. Would you care to move your amendment?
I would move the author's amendment, then I have an amendment to that amendment.
The chair moves the DE4 amendment. And then the author's amendment to the DE4 first. All right, we'll, is there discussion to the DE4 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the DE4 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The amendment is adopted. And then, Chair Wagenius, you have an author's amendment to the DE4, which is A18 in members' packets. Would you like to speak to your author's amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, I would. Most of this is technical, but let me go over it quickly for you. In the first part of, on the first page of the bill, we are talking about Commerce's budget and the part of Commerce that we have in this committee. So this is just making that complete. At the top of page two, we are, that is the solar in schools outside of the XL territory, so that will be continued in the base. One of the things that's been added since you've seen this bill are grants for electric vehicle charging stations. And this is, again, for outside of the XL area. So that's on line 2.7. Then on 2.12, we're again doing Commerce's budget. 2.22 is the actual language for the vehicle charging station. And on 3.19, we're deleting a sunset, and the rest of it's technical. So with that, members, I would be glad to take questions.
There are questions on the author's A18 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A18 say aye.
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 Any opposed? The A18 is adopted. We are on to other amendments. Is there an author for the A1 amendment? Representative Swazinski.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I'd like to move the A1 amendment.
Representative Swazinski moves the A1.
And we heard from testimony. There is a section where the $500,000 a year assessment that was sunsetted and was eliminated about 9 months ago. We heard from testimony from the commissioner that they have been able to continue to absorb those costs, and we really feel as to do justice to folks moving forward when it comes to the assessment that we should allow this to just continue to expire and not continue to collect that, and that would continue that. So I'd ask for a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. Is there discussion on the amendment? Chair Wagenius.
Yes, I'm going to oppose that amendment. What you are deleting is money for a specific duty of the Department of Commerce. That duty is described in Subdivision 3A, and it is to represent the interests of Minnesota residents, businesses, and governments before bodies and agencies outside the state. I could read further in here if you would like me to, but basically, we do want to be involved in the discussions about the things that are affecting us, and so I would oppose this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, a roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Wagenius?
No.
Representative Swazinski.
Aye.
Representative Akam.
No.
Representative Baker. Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo. Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Garofalo.
Yes.
Representative Halverson. Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Long.
No.
Representative Mahoney. Representative Meckland.
Yes.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
Representative Nelson.
There being four ayes and seven nays, the amendment is not adopted. Is there an author for the A3 amendment? Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A3 amendment.
Representative Swazinski moves the A3.
Yes, and this essentially is also working to protect taxpayers' finances. So this essentially prohibits the Commissioner of Commerce from using appropriated dollars to fund any activities or related to any for preparation or filing of an appeal to the Public Utilities Commission, essentially, you know, using taxpayers' money to fight taxpayers' money and funding. You know, we feel this is a general misuse of the agency's dollars, that one agency would be suing another agency within the state, and I would ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Is there discussion to the A3? Chair Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I ask you to vote no on this. This is prohibiting the Department of Commerce from filing an appeal, which is a normal course of business, and you're asking to stop a normal process, and I would ask members to vote no.
Is there further discussion to the A3? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Wagenius.
No.
Representative Swazinski?
Aye.
Representative Akam?
No.
Representative Baker? Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Bowe? Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Representative Halverson? Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Long?
No.
Representative Mahoney? Representative Meckland?
Yes.
Representative Stevenson? Representative Nelson?
Aye.
There being four ayes and seven nays, the amendment is not adopted. Is there an author for the A4 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Swazinski.
I'll offer that one as well.
Representative Swazinski moves the A4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A4 amendment. Thank you for its consideration. I would ask folks to truly consider this. So we are obviously moving some of the public utilities focus into residential in the SIP program, and you know, from a cost recovery standpoint, and that incentive, we're asking that because it's residential, that the costs and the dollars that are generated to help fund it are only stayed within the residential area. So rather than, you know, transferring dollars that are raised through industrial customers, that it stays, if it's for residential, it stays within the residential area. So that they're the ones actually paying. If they're getting the benefit, they're the ones paying for it. And I'd ask for your support.
Sir, discussion on the A4. Chair Wagenius.
Well, thank you. Members, all of us benefit from conservation. We've established that again and again in this committee with testimony. But in this particular case, it is the commercial sector that has benefited the most from SIP programs, just because they're bigger and they're easier to do. So, in fairness, we are providing opportunities for residents, and I would ask you to keep the opportunities for residents and to vote no on the amendment.
Further discussion on the A4? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
No. The amendment is not adopted. Is there an author for the A6? Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I move the A6 amendment.
Representative Swazinski moves the A6.
So essentially, there's a potential, I believe, that we could have the new money that's being appropriated in this bill that could be used for a potential new lawsuit because of what we're trying to do from a policy standpoint across state lines. And the this would just allow none of the new money that's being appropriated in this bill to be used for the North Dakota lawsuit. And I'd ask for your support.
Chair Wagenius.
Well, thank you, members. I would ask you to vote no. You heard the testimony from the Department of Commerce. This is being used to pay a bill that they're obligated to pay. We do not want them to be in contempt of court, and so I would ask you to vote no.
Representative Swieczynski.
So, Mr. Chair, this just to clarify, it's my belief that this would be new money for a potential new lawsuit that would move forward. So, and essentially, if we were to be sued again for policies enacted in this legislature or policies enacted through rulemaking by the state of North Dakota, that we'd be prohibited using these dollars to defend. So, you know, I understand that what's gone is gone. This would be looking out into the future. So I think this just sets good precedent for us that we need to set good policy and ask for good policy within the administration and in ourselves to try to not be privy to these lawsuits.
I'll just make a brief comment. It doesn't seem to be in Minnesota's best interest to roll over to any lawsuit brought by the state of North Dakota without defending us. So I would urge us to oppose this amendment. Further discussion? All in favor of the A6, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
No. No. The amendment is not adopted. Is there an author for the A7 amendment? Representative Meckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to offer the A7 amendment.
Representative Meckman moves the A7.
So this amendment reinstates the sunset clause on the $500,000 to the commerce assessment and sets the date for 2 years out so this committee can hear it at that time to assess whether it's needed going forward.
Discussion of the A7. Chair Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to oppose this amendment. You're not taking away the duty of the Department of Commerce. You're only putting a sunset on, and they still have the duty, and there should be no sunset. So I'd ask members to vote no.
Further discussion to the A7? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A7 say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. No.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Is there an author for the A8 amendment? Representative Swieczynski.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to offer the A8 amendment. So in years past, there has been, I believe, some sort of a position that was out there that was created for a specific program, and there was an assessment that was related to that. That program essentially has went away, and we feel that the assessment that's related to it should also go away. And we believe this $400,000 is best used in the pocketbooks of ratepayers rather than in the government bureaucracy, and that's why I'm moving this amendment forward. The original reason for the assessment is now gone, and we feel that just because the reason for it's gone, the funding should also go back to the way it was before. So it simply cuts $400,000 from the $850,000 SIP assessment at Commerce, and it reflects the carve out that was that went away last year. So.
A discussion to the A8 amendment.
Members, I would ask you to vote no on this. We're not repealing the language or the responsibilities. We're only cutting the dollar. That doesn't make sense, and I'd ask you to vote no.
Further discussion of the A8 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A8 amendment say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No. The A8 is not adopted. Is there an author for the A10 amendment?
A10. Yes, I'd like to move the A10 amendment.
Representative Swieczynski moves the A10.
Yes, so essentially, so it cuts the $29,000 per year for the Commerce for the Residential SIP Financial Incentive Program from the TAILS. So essentially, we are using one-time money, and we should keep it one-time money rather than continuing this assessment out in the future. I think this makes, we've heard time and time again that we're very concerned about the TAILS, which we should be, and this would keep this bill and keep this expenditure confined within this budget cycle and not into the future. So I would ask for your support.
Chair Wagenius.
I am looking at this as page 2, line 33, and this is actually the money going to the University of Minnesota. So we need to clarify what you just said to me. I thought it was page 2. What I have is page 2, line 33, after the period insert. This is a one-time appropriation.
Maybe our nonpartisan staff could read how the amendment would be added into the language.
I think we got our numbers crossed up.
Mr. Chair and members, I believe the sentence, this is a one-time appropriation, would be tacked on to the end of paragraph E on page 2, which does refer to the U of M climate study.
If you would agree to that, that's what we're doing, Representative Swazinski, I would be glad to accept the amendment. But if it's before that, I would not.
Yes, I think for the clarifying should work. If we just tack it on there, that'd be great. Yeah.
Ms. Beckel would like to respond as well.
Mr. Chair, representatives, this amendment as written would not actually change anything in terms of how we track things fiscally. When something only has funding in the first year of the biennium, it is considered a one-time appropriation already.
So the chair is recommending support for the amendment. All those in favor of the A10 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The amendment is adopted. Is there an author for the A11 amendment? Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer the A11, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Representative Baker moves the A11.
Really what this is again, it's continuing to try to improve the Conservation Improvement Program, something that, again, I think has done good things over the years. This one just allows the SIP to have some incentives, being it permissive versus mandatory. Softens this language a little bit. I think we got to get these bills perfected and honed a little bit, and I think using language that allows things to be a little more permissive than mandatory allows a better plan, a better utility outcome. And again, the PUC can approve it if it's not, but it can't if it's mandatory. So with that, Madam Chair, I'd offer that amendment for your consideration to make it a little better.
Chair Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm going to ask you to vote no on this. First of all, it's not mandatory that the utilities carry through with this. The line 8.29 says that this is a financial incentive designed to encourage a public utility to continue investing. It is not a mandate. And it is asking the PUC to figure out something that might work or that will work. It is an opportunity for residential customers, and they have not had the same opportunities as the commercial folks have had. So it's a fairness thing, and I would ask members to vote no.
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair, so it sounds like we agree on this, and it maybe sounds like, as you're saying, it's not showing it mandatory, but maybe I'm looking for some comfort language to make sure that that's what it does. If it's truly a choice, as you just have described, then maybe you would accept this, because I think we're trying to get to the same thing. It's not, you're saying it's not required, it's an option. So what is wrong with my amendment, Madam Chair?
Chair Wagenius.
I am saying that the Public Utilities Commission must go through do their work. But once they've done their work, a utility does not have to. It's only a utility is only encouraged to do residential conservation. So I don't see that as comfort language. I think we do have to tell the PUC what we want and what we don't want. So I would ask members to vote no.
Further discussion on the A11? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A11 say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Is there an author for the A13 amendment?
Yes, I will offer the A13 amendment.
Representative Nelson.
And on page line 21, it would be inserting wind speed after the temperature, and then in between precipitation. So just kind of the weather cycles, just kind of as we're seeing some of the climate change, some of the wind speeds are varying. And so we're just kind of wanting to understand the climate a little bit better.
Representative Nelson moves the A13. Discussion of the A13. Chair Wagenius.
Well, Well, thank you. Representative Nelson, when I read your amendment last night, and it was late when we got home from the governor's speech, I did send an email to the professor and asked him if wind speeds would be included. And when I checked my computer this morning, he hadn't responded yet. I am certainly open to this, but at this point, I would ask members to vote no.
Further discussion to the A13?
So beginner's luck, sorry.
Representative Baker.
No. I'm going to fight for this one. So this one, hold on now. And I think Representative Nelson does a great job with talking about what he heard in one of his very first committee hearings that really perked my ears up. You know, to actually hear that the weather patterns make a significant difference on the load that we can go onto our lines. I think we've all talked about wind is one of the cheapest forms of renewable energy. I'm there. But we can't rely on it, and it was, again, kind of confirmed with that as these weather patterns get kind of weird. I think, you know, I remember 20 years ago when the El Nino gave us a very warm winter, no snow at all. I remember it was just a really weird time. And if we are starting to count on wind speeds to be in this window, and we're hearing from the scientists that you, I think, really value their opinion, Madam Chair. I think Representative Nelson brings up a really good point that let's make sure this is part of this conversation. This is real energy that is going to go up and down, and it's going to go down more than what we realize. And if we're going to start counting on this energy, I think we need to have some exceptions for this. And great amendment. Thank you for bringing it forward. Appreciate it.
Chair Wiginius.
Okay. If you will look on lines 9.21, this says a variety of other climate parameters over the rest of the century. It may well be that this is in here but described differently. I don't want it to be described in the wrong way. So I did send an email to the professor. I'm glad to put in what he says, but at this time I think it's a bit premature, and I would ask members to vote no.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A13 say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Is there an author for the A14 amendment?
I'd like to move the A14 amendment.
Representative Swazinski moves the A14.
So essentially what this amendment does is we're asking the Commerce Department to report annually on the dollar amount of fees collected through the assessment for the Solar Garden Administration. Just from kind of open government, want to see kind of where things are at when it comes to the fee assessments for the solar gardens, and I appreciate your support.
I'll speak to this since this is to an underlying bill that I am carrying. I oppose the amendment. I think that we are going to have reporting from Department of Commerce and their normal course of business that will include this information, so don't think it's necessary. Representative Swazinski.
I think what we're asking for is just very specific. So, you know, in general, we may get a report of how many fees they collect, but just specifically for this, and that's just looking in this particular area because it is fairly unique when it comes to cost, and the little we do know about, you know, how that project is working externally, I think it's important that we see how it's affecting our division, Commerce Division. So I think it's important that we would potentially move this forward just sort of for better, more transparent government.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, and I appreciate your bill that does bring back some information from the Department of Commerce on this solar garden projects. And again, I think as Representative Swedinski is trying to do is be a little bit more specific, because I think that we all sort of learned a lot of new things this year with solar gardens. Where the money is going, how it's cut up, where the owners are. I mean, again, we heard 89% of the projects, the megawatts produced are owned by people outside of Minnesota. And I think that should be something that we as a legislature should try to monitor as we move forward. I think this language, again, it tries to fine-tune this bill to just get more specific information. So I guess maybe to the chair of that, or to the author of that bill, are you able to assure us that kind of information that we're talking about now will be part of that report coming forward? Is that what you're saying, that it's, you think it's in the bill, the specificity of what we're trying to get to? Will that be part of the reporting coming, Mr. Author of that bill?
Thank you, Representative Baker. My understanding is that this is duplicative and that the information contained in here will be coming from the Department of Commerce.
Mr. Chair, specific to this request then, so that the information that he's specific enough? Is that what you're saying?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Further discussion to the A14? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A14 say aye.
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 All opposed?
Oh.
No. The amendment is not adopted. Is there an author of the A15 amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Baker.
Again, I take a lot of these ideas from folks that we had at our testifying table throughout our session this year. We heard the PUC talking about how often they look at the resource plan. So, again, the IOUs bring them this. I can't imagine what a resource plan actually looks like. I've never seen one, but I got to believe it's a palette, or it's 5 inches of stuff. A lot of information. It takes a lot of lawyers and researchers and engineers to really put together a good plan. What I heard from the PUC was they do that every 2-3 years, and I think they have some ability to wiggle around a little bit. I think what helps, what I've learned about utilities is certainty helps them plan better. It helps them do a better job. And if they're scrambling, members, to try to get a resource plan together every 2 or 2.5 years, if they had a little more time to do this, but in statute right now, our rules call that they're supposed to do this every 2 years. And because the PUC has a little bit of wiggle room, that doesn't necessarily help our ratepayers. And I think what I'm asking the chair to do is why don't we allow them to maybe cut out some of the attorneys and some of the researchers and have them work longer on a project, and that might be bringing us better information, but I think it also defines to the PUC a little better that, hey, every 4 years in this world might be a really good idea. So I think you want to actually maybe support this amendment, so I'll stop talking right now. So thank you.
Chair Ruginius.
Well, we did hear folks testifying about resource plans, and just a couple days ago, Commissioner Tuma came up here and said that new technology is coming extremely fast, and it's hard to predict. These are his words. And he said we're in a good place. The flexibility in statute puts us in a good place. And one of the things I was thinking about as I was thinking about your amendment is we've heard that Google may be coming to Minnesota for a data storage center in Becker. Well, do we want them to wait 4 years? Not on my watch. I want them to be able to come in as quickly as possible if there's an opportunity like Google to come to Minnesota. So I would not like to hamstring the commission or the utilities when technology is moving this fast. So members, I would ask you to vote no on this.
Further discussion on the A15. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A15 say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? No. The A15 is not adopted. Is there an author to the A16?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the A16.
Representative Spasinski moves the A16.
And so, folks, this simply just deletes the appropriations for the U of M climate study and the residential SIP, which adds up to, I think, approximately $609,000. And, you know, diverts it into the LIHEAP, which is a low-income heating assistance for folks of lower income. And so, you know, I think that's a good place to spend the dollars that are limited across the state and nation to help folks that are being impacted negatively by energy policy within the state. And I'd ask for a roll call.
Chair Ruginius.
Members, I would ask you to vote no. I think we all like energy heating assistance, but we also know that if homes can be made or residents can be made more efficient, then that heating assistance can stretch further and go to other homes. So energy efficiency is not only good for the folks who are getting it, it's good for all of us to keep us from having to build too many power plants. With regard to the University of Minnesota, what they are giving us or are potentially giving us is really good information. And good information leads to good decision making. And when I think about the debate on the House floor the other day when you all were talking about disasters and disaster relief and how much money it's costing, I was thinking about how do we do some prevention. And I think that this particular information from you will help us with that prevention, so I'd ask members to vote no.
Further discussion on the A16. Representative Stevenson.
I think that the study is very important. I think some of the members of the minority indicated that there's useful information about a lot of different things that we could learn from that study. I would appreciate their interest in a few minutes ago and hope that they don't now want to remove the study at this time so we can get the answer to the questions that Representative Nelson and others raised just a few moments ago.
Representative Baker.
And I think to that point, Representative Stevenson, I think that it is a good study, and I think it's something we can do, but I think we also heard, and I certainly have heard in other committees, our folks in the LIHEAP program need it more than we need a study. And I think this diverts that money to, I think, a more greater need right now today. And so that's why I love this idea. I think it's a great amendment because, again, this is helping more people with their heat right now. It's going to help a lot more people.
Seeing no further discussion on the A16 and a roll call being requested, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Wagenius?
No.
Representative Swazinski?
Aye.
Representative Acom?
No.
Representative Baker?
Yep.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Bowe? Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Representative Halverson?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Long?
No.
Representative Mahoney? Representative Meckland?
Yes.
Representative Stevenson?
No.
Representative Nelson?
Yes.
There being 5 ayes and 8 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Is there an author for the A19? Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, as we go through this markup process, we're trying to make this bigger bill better. I wanted to bring this idea again to the committee because I get that this community solar garden is going to expand under the watch of Representative Long and Representative Wagenius, that you want to triple the size of it. It's not really pulling in the guardrails for the people that I think shouldn't be a part of these things, except it should have been designed more for residential and not the big users, the 40% users that are making a lot of money, the Warren Buffetts of the world that are actually looking at Minnesota and they just can't wait to invest in more of this stuff. It's a cash cow for people like that. And so, okay, my idea is just to sunset this project after 3 years. It doesn't change what we're doing now. It lets you expand it. It lets the developers get on to what they're doing. But this is something that I think in the long run, folks, when we are seriously looking at utility scale solar today, 2019, as 25% of the cost to produce solar on a community garden is much different than putting it out in a utility grade, in a utility solar scale. So I think that if we ignore this going forward, we're ignoring the fact that we are being very careless with ratepayers' pocketbooks. We are looking the other way. And the developers and owners are winning from this tremendously. And a few of the people that actually can afford to get on the grid, on the solar garden. So I think if we really want to be honest and transparent, okay, the program is up and running. But let's at some point say enough and stop it. And I think that it just, because my biggest problem with this solar program is the value of solar that has been set up doesn't change during the life of that project. And so that rate will stay high. I wish we could change it every 3, 4 to 5 years and have an adjustment clause, but that's not part of this. We tried to do that. But members, I just think that we have to look at this program. Honestly, I don't like this program anymore. I think it should stop after 3 years, and we should look to see what's next. Because I think solar in 3 years, it would be an embarrassment if we were ever to try to expand this any further. If we can buy, maybe it's going to be a fifth of it, of the cost then. So with that, members, I'd love to have your support to say let's sunset this program. And if we're going to do more solar, I want to do more solar, but just not at this really high-priced method. Thank you.
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to correct some of Representative Baker's comments. You know, he talked about that the cost doesn't change over this. It does change. It goes up. Most of these contracts are ballooned. And so while the price might be lower now, Representative Baker, they don't just stay the same. They go up and up and up and up. So while we're looking to the future in technology and the price actually going down when it comes to actual industry, these contracts are set to continue the cost increase that is multiple times higher than what the current rate to actually install these from a market rate standpoint. And so just want a little point of clarification, Representative Baker, but, you know, while this program continues, the price will continue to go up. And I don't think that's a benefit to anyone. I agree 100% that, you know, the Chair Wagenius has stated, you know, technology is changing exceptionally quick. You know, where we're here today, we're not going to be tomorrow. And I think specifically when we're dictating how much the cost of a specific project and cost are going to be today and what it reflects, it has no bearing on what it's going to be in 3 years or 2 years or 1 year or 3 months from now. And I think by continuing this program, I think, you know, this is a good middle ground, folks. We talked about it last night. Let's find some middle ground. I think we're not asking for this program to end today. We're asking, hey, you know what, there can be some expansion, there can be some investment. We've seen big business, we've seen Warren Buffett being able to profit exceptional. Let's just call it a quits after 3 years. I think that's some good middle ground, and that doesn't say in 2 years we can't look at it again and say, hey, you know what, this is continuing to lower costs for consumers, which it's not. But if it happens to in 2 years, we can always re-up it. But this kind of puts a little pause button so that we understand kind of what's going on in the future really making room for the new technologies that are coming on board rather than locking us in to more expensive options when they're obviously right now today already cheaper ones. So I think this is a great amendment.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to also thank Representative Swedinsky for clarifying me. This program has me kind of wound up, and I guess the more I understand it, the more I've got heartburn about it. And I hope others start looking at this as well as we move forward on this. It's a rate payer's nightmare if you really understand the project. So thank you for correcting my enthusiasm for this. Appreciate it.
Since this is to my underlying bill, I'll speak this as well. The value of solar rates that the Public Utilities Commission have developed are designed so that we are agnostic to putting on new community solar. It's designed to incorporate all of the costs that are inherent in developing new energy, and so that's the elegance of the rate, the way they've designed it. We've had the most successful community solar program in the country. Even Xcel Energy has said they don't want the program to end. They want to see it updated, and that's what we're in the process of discussing. So I hope members will oppose this amendment. Representative Ruff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Some people on this side of the aisle made some pretty serious claims against the community solar program, and I noticed in your response to that you didn't really counteract the things that Representatives Swedinsky and Baker said. I mean, is it true that this form of solar is far more expensive than most other forms of solar?
Representative Garofalo, so if you are comparing community solar to utility scale solar, yes, community solar is a more expensive form than utility solar, but the way that the value of solar rate is designed by the Public Utilities Commission is specifically set so that every new additional community solar that is added is not having any cross-subsidy because it is we are agnostic to it since you are including all externalities in that price.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Representative Ruff.
So the externalities, do we not get those benefits from large-scale solar projects outside of community solar?
Representative Garofalo, if you are suggesting that we should add in an externality-inclusive price for all energy, I'd be happy to talk to you about that.
Well, no, but, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Garofalo,
what I'm saying is that are we getting those benefits right now from those other forms of solar?
Representative Garofalo, we are getting externality inclusive benefits from other forms of energy as well. If we price that into all of our energy, that might be a better way to go. But we don't do that right now. We are doing it for the community solar program.
So, Mr. Chairman, what we're saying is, I mean, again, it's, you mentioned yourself as the author of the program. What you're suggesting is that we should pay for these externalities under this program, but we should not pay for the externalities under any other renewable energy that's being sold right now in the state of Minnesota in current law.
That's not what I said, Representative Garofalo. What I'm saying is that under the community solar program, that is the way the rate has been designed by the Public Utilities Commission. I conceded that that is not the way we do it for other forms of energy, and I said if you wanted to work on changing the pricing structure for other forms of energy, I'd be happy to talk with you about that.
So just to be clear, Mr. Chairman, so the PUC doesn't set the rate, we did in statute.
Okay. Representative Garofalo, the way the value of solar rate is created was not us. The Public Utilities Commission develops it in conjunction with Xcel Energy.
But the value of solar creation, that was set in statute in 2013.
That's correct.
That was put in there, and then what people want, what it means to different people and different things is fine. But members, I do not understand why there is this strong advocacy for an expensive way to reduce pollution when there are more affordable ways to reduce pollution. No one benefits outside of out-of-state investors who are making money not off the large industrial customers and the wealthy people of Minnesota, but making it off the backs of the working class and the lower class in the state of Minnesota. That's where this extra money is going. We're getting no additional pollution mitigation out of it. We're getting no additional environmental benefit out of it. But we are getting our higher bills to send the money other places. And it's why this program is mocked in other states. I had the opportunity to attend an energy program seminar last year in Washington, D.C. by a nonpartisan group. And when the issue of community solar came up, one of the testifiers said, whatever you do, quote, just don't do it the way Minnesota did, end quote. And it's pretty obvious that this program is not something that should be expanded, not something that should be hailed as a success. It's an unmitigated financial disaster. And I'm not paying for it, but there sure are a lot of working class families across our state who are. Thank you.
Representative Swazinski. I'm good. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This has been a problematic thing for me. I think this is a super important thing. I think the more this comes out, the more we talk about it, the more we show our votes on these kind of things is important. I hope the press is listening too, so we can have a very transparent conversation about how solar gardens are not working for the ratepayers of Minnesota. And again, just what Representative Garofalo said, if we just want to have the clean air and the carbon-free stuff, then why not do it the cheaper way? Mr. Chair, I'd like to request a roll call on this.
Roll call has been requested. Is there further discussion on the A-19? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Wagenius.
No.
Representative Swazinski.
Aye.
Representative Akam.
No.
Representative Baker.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe. Representative Christensen. No. Representative Garofalo.
Yes.
Representative Halverson.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Long.
No.
Representative Mahoney.
No.
Representative Meckland.
Yes.
Oh, that one's gonna. Representative Stevenson. Representative Nelson.
Yes.
There being 5 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Is there an author for the A-20 amendment?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members, I move the A-20 amendment.
Representative Swazinski moves the A-20.
Yes, this simply, we asked a number of times the department on the cost of litigation and getting some of those numbers back to the committee. You know, I think this is, I'm hoping this would be a friendly amendment. You know, I just simply ask, what is the cost? You know, we've seen the litigation and what it costs to pay for other states' litigation against us, and I think we deserve to know how much it is costing taxpayers to move litigation forward from an inter-department level. And, you know, whether it's the Attorney General's office, whether the Department of Commerce, this particularly is on for the commissioner to report back to us what is the cost that they are incurring internally for suing for the Enbridge Line 3 litigation against the Public Utilities Commission. You know, I'm hoping that we'd all like to know it. We've talked about transparency. We talked about data and the importance of why the U of M study potentially is more important than LIHEAP. Data is great. Information is great. And I think we as taxpayers deserve to know what this is costing the state of Minnesota and the taxpayers when one government agency sues another government agency of the same state.
Discussion of the A-20. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to vote against this because there's no way the lawyers are that quick to get their bills out that we'll know anywhere near the function or the dollar figure by this in 3 months. So the amendment isn't really it's not an amendment that's going to give us any information. If they give us the most, we'll get a preliminary estimate. But I doubt that they would even be dumb enough to do that.
Chair Wagenius.
Representative Mahoney said in different words what I was going to say. This is premature. And I would ask members to vote no.
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to strike July 1st, 2019, and simply insert at the conclusion of litigation. And I would ask for just a little levity so that when the litigation is concluded, that they shall submit a report to the state.
Representative Swazinski makes an oral amendment to strike July 1st, 2019. What did I say? And to insert at the conclusion of litigation. Can we have Mr. Eliff repeat how the language would read?
Mr. Chair, I think the motion should be to strike no later than July 1, 2019, and insert at the conclusion of litigation.
Is that your oral amendment, Representative Swazinski?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
The chair finds that technical in nature. All those in favor of the oral amendment, say aye.
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 All those opposed to the oral amendment, no.
No.
The oral amendment is not adopted.
Division.
Division to an oral amendment. How are you proposing to divide your oral amendment?
Oh.
Are you requesting a division? all those in, is there further discussion to the A20? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A20, say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
No, the A20 is not adopted. Is there an author for the A21? Representative Baker.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. A long time ago, I worked with some folks on the old Representative Rarick's bill of the energy storage, House File 165, and again, I had brought to the committee, there was a lot of discussion on that important bill that brought energy storage to resource planning for the state of Minnesota, for seeing what is really the potential for or for locking in our storage from renewable energy. We saw some really nice presentations. I was disappointed that this bill did not get a hearing. There was a clone bill that was like it. I think Representative Claflin had it, and I think a lot of her components are also part of this bill. What I also noticed, Madam Chair, in your bill, $50,000 was stripped out of that. My bill was requesting $150,000 because that's what was agreed upon with the stakeholders that were working so hard on this the last 6 to 12 months, and they really had solid agreement on this. They felt $150,000 was a reasonable number. I'm asking, Madam Chair, that you might want to consider slicing a very small amount out of the U of M climate study, storage study that they're working on. It's 0.8% of a slice. To me, I feel like we get a little bit of this important bill back on the table to fund it properly. I want to make sure that we actually get the information we really need, and if we start cutting that study down by a third of the cost, I don't know that we're going to get the information we want to get. So, Madam Chair, I think it's a very easy, simple request. I don't think the U of M is going to miss a tiny little bit like that when I think energy storage is a very exciting future. So I hope that you would accept this, Madam Chair.
Discussion on the A21, Chair Wiginius.
Well, thank you, Chair and Representative Baker. I know because we have the U study has gone through the process at the U, and we have an absolute number on that. The storage that you're talking about, and I do like the storage part of this bill, is money for a request for a proposal process. You'll find that on line 3.3. So we really don't know what the cost of the storage bill. We may be able to get it for $100,000. That's a lot of money. In a request for a proposal. If not, we may need to put more money in. But actually, everyone, I think about this and I think about your idea, since we really don't know, we don't have a firm number. That was an estimate given by advocates. When we get our final target, as we go into negotiation, if we have more money, that is, I would be happy to put it in there, but we don't know what our final target is going to be. But at this point, members, I'd ask you to vote no.
Further discussion to the A21? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A21 say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No. The A21 is not adopted. That concludes the amendments that we have today. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that we have a roll call on the final passage.
Representative Swazinski has asked for a roll call on final passage. Chair Wagenius, would you care to make any closing comments before we move to the final
members,
adoption?
You know, this is the second of our finance bills. This is the small one because this is our general fund money. It funds the Department of Commerce Energy section and does a few other things that we have talked about. It is not a big bill, but I would appreciate your support.
Representative Wagenius renews her motion that House File 1986, as amended, be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. A roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Wagenius.
Aye.
Representative Swazinski.
No.
Representative Akam.
Yes.
Representative Baker.
No.
Representative Bierman.
Yes.
Representative Bowe. Representative Christensen. Representative Garofalo? Representative Hubbardson?
Aye.
Representative Hornstein?
Yes.
Representative Long?
Yes.
Representative Mahoney? Sorry, I didn't. Representative Mahoney?
Yes.
Representative Meckland?
No.
Representative Stevenson?
Yes.
Representative Nelson?
No.
Representative Bowe.
No.
There being 9 ayes and 5 nays, the House file, the motion prevails. House file 1986, as amended, is referred to the Ways and Means Committee. At this point, we are not scheduled to meet next week. We will meet at the call of the chair. And the committee is adjourned.